Hey there, this is Matthew Watkins with another episode of Conference Talk Shorts. Back in September of 2014, almost I guess 10 years ago now, Elder D. Todd Christofferson shared a story from President Eyring's biography about his experience in Ricks College at the time that the Teton Dam broke. This story stuck with me and I want to share it with you now. Just a side note, what I'm about to share, I actually wrote a blog post on my blog, powerinthebook.com. So if you want to read this, I'll link it in the show notes and you can follow it there. On June 5th, 1976, Idaho's Teton Dam broke, sending a massive wall of water 15 feet high over the valley below. The 80 million gallons of water that rushed over Sugar City and Rexburg carried away houses, demolished businesses, and covered the whole community in a thick layer of rancid muck. President Henry B. Eyring, then president of Ricks College, which we now know as BYUI, noticed that some individuals went to work and became heroes to their fellow men, while others ran from every opportunity to serve. In so doing, they betrayed their wards, their quorums, and even being an analytical businessman, President Eyring performed a small but scientifically significant study into why some people rose up while others ran away. What he found was very interesting. Speaking about this experience, President Eyring noted the difference between those who rose up and those who ran away as follows. And this is quoting from a talk that he gave, I believe it was in Bountiful, Utah, to a high school graduation. He said, "There was just one thing different. Those who were heroes had been the people who always remembered and kept promises in the little things, the daily things. A promise to stay after church dinner to clean up, or to come to work on a Saturday project to help a neighbor. Those who deserted their families when it was hard had often deserted their obligations when it wasn't so tough. They had a pattern of failing to keep their word to do the little things when the sacrifice to them would have been slight, and doing what they said they would do would have been easy. But when the price was high, they could not pay it." That's the end of his quote. In reading this story, I'm reminded of Naaman, the Syrian captain who went to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. I imagine Naaman asked himself what price the prophet would demand for such a miracle. This desperate Syrian was already humiliating himself by going to the Hebrews for aid, and he brought with him a bounty of treasure to sweeten the deal. What if the prophet demanded sacrifices? Well, say the word. An epic quest to the end of the earth, or we leave today. No price would be too high to rid himself of this awful disease. Well, Naaman was surprised when Elisha couldn't be bothered to meet with him in person. Instead, Elisha sent a terse message instructing him to take a bath. It was easy. Too easy. Insultingly easy. Rebuffed, the sour Naaman started to return to his own land. Fortunately, a servant girl reminded Naaman of his idiocy. Quote, "If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather, then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Naaman listened, and Naaman received new skin that day. But more importantly, he received a new heart. I also think of the story of the children of Israel and the fiery serpents. The Lord commanded Moses to make a brass serpent and mount it on a pole. Whoever had been bitten would be healed if they simply looked. Unfortunately, many, like Naaman, were so insulted because of the easiness of this promise that they went through the effort of willingly averting their eyes from the symbol Moses had made. Don't look at it. I'm not going to look at it. Those rebellious Israelites perished because they chose to keep physical and spiritual venom in their hearts. I've noticed this disturbing trend among many members of the church today, both active and less active. They often bear testimony of the church and express their conviction to the cause of the Lord. They've sometimes expressed how they would heroically haul a handcart across the plains, suffer a martyr's death for the gospel, and leave everything the moment the prophet says, "Let's gather to Zion and meet the Savior." But attend a boring sacrament meeting at the unholy hour of 9 a.m., clean the chapel, accept a primary calling? No thanks, Bishop. Let me know when you have a harder task worthy of my time. We often quote Alma's teaching that, quote, "The Lord God doth work by means," that means small things, normal, everyday things, "to bring to pass his great and eternal purposes, and by very small means, by small and simple things, are great things brought to pass." Look, I love that scripture, but I hate how we often interpret it, as if Alma was saying, Well, get used to boring, guys. God doesn't do anything cool or impressive anymore. But President Nelson has been very clear on this. There are some really cool things coming soon. Quote, "Our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, will perform some of his mightiest works. Between now and when he comes again, we will see miraculous indications that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ preside over this church in majesty and glory." And guess what? We're going to be a part of that. Isn't that awesome? Great things are going to be expected of us. But if we're skipping the small stuff, we're going to miss it. By bringing small and simple things to pass, we flex our spiritual muscles and prepare ourselves to bring great things to pass. Setting up chairs, helping our kids pick up fast offerings, and doing our time in the nursery build into us the muscle memory of service and the habit of commitment. If we haven't built that fortitude of character in the small things, we will be too scared, too prideful, or too lazy to answer the call for the big things. When the Lord needs servants to accomplish his greatest wonders, many of us who have imagined ourselves as dedicated gospel heroes might find ourselves withdrawing into the bushes like a Homer Simpson meme. So if you find yourself begrudging building cleaning duty, you might not be ready for Zion. Repent and get to work. In the words of President Nelson, time is running out. See you next week.